This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shaoning and Lin Mark. It is now 8:37 in the morning, Monday, the 28th of September. Now, in about 10 minutes, we'll be taking a quick look at the latest developments in the Apple versus Epic saga. But before that, let's talk about the Sabah state elections. Because the Sabah state governor, Yang di-Pertua Negeri Tun Juha Mahirudin, has asked for some time to decide on who will be appointed as the next Sabah chief minister. This decision came to light following a meeting with the governor and three other party leaders under the Gabungan Rakyat Sabah, otherwise known as GRS. Sabah Barisan National Chief Datuk Sri Bung Mukhtar said that Tun Juha will decide as soon as possible. Now, after clinching a simple majority win on Saturday's Sabah state election, there seems to be some stalemate now in the discussions for the position of Sabah's chief minister within the winning GRS alliance. UMNO's Bung Mukhtar and Bersatu Datuk Haji Noor have both been touted as possible chief minister candidates, with lengthy negotiations taking place since the election results were announced past midnight on Saturday. PN technically has more seats than BN in the 73 state assembly. So for more on the outcome of the Sabah state elections, we have Professor James Chin, professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania and a longtime commentator on Malaysian politics. Good morning, James. James, when we last spoke on Friday, you had predicted a warisan win with a caveat that a lot can happen at the last minute. So why did warisan fail in this bid to retain power?
Ah, good morning. Somehow I knew you were going to ask that question.
I have to, James.
Yes, absolutely. I think there were several factors involved. I like to go through the five major factors. But again, these are preliminary assessment. As we dig deeper, we might find something else happening. But I think one of the big problems is that when warisan was first established back in 2017-2018, before the last general election, there was already a widely held belief that warisan, because it was started by Shafi, that it was what they call a pro-PTI party, or a party that was in favor of the undocumented immigrants, mostly from the southern Philippines and some from Indonesia. So from day one, they always had this perception that they were, supportive of illegal immigrants. And this view was strongly reinforced when they were in government. They tried to issue a special pass called PSS. And many people, especially the Kadazan Dusun community, thought that this new pass was a pathway to citizenship. Now, you have to remember, this is a very, very sensitive issue in the Kadazan Dusun community, especially in the interiors. Because throughout the 1980s and 1990s, because of Project M or Project IC, they're very angry that their land, which is Sabah, has been taken over by so-called PTI. Now, if you were to look at the population of Sabah, and this is even agreed upon by the Department of Statistics, basically there was a large chunk of people living in Sabah today who were born outside Sabah. So the conventional wisdom is that, you know, out of the people with blue ICs naming Sabah as a homestead, a minimum of one third are actually PTI, people who were born outside the state, but somehow ended up with Malaysian citizenships, a Malaysian citizenship from Sabah. So that's the reason why this is a very sensitive thing. Now, for whatever reason, warisan did not deal with this widely held perception that they were pro-PTI. I mean, during the election, there was all sorts of rumors flying around on social media. Some of my favorites was that warisan, if they get into government, they'll come back with a new version of PSS. They're trying to create a legal way for these PTI people to become Sabah citizens. There was also a rumor, quite an outrageous one, that Shafi was planning to set aside one of the many islands of the mainland, and that island was specifically made as a settlement point for PTI people. So that's the first point, the anti-PTI thing linked with warisan. I think the second big issue we have to look at is that somehow the warisan's campaign in the interior core KDM seats was very lackluster. When I managed to speak to some of the people on Sunday, the impression I got was that they were not well coordinated. For example, I would have thought that Wari Sung would make extensive use of the state administration, but apparently the state administration did not really come all out to support Wari Sung. The key fighter on behalf of Wari Sung in many of these KDM seats was their allied party called APCO. And APCO's campaign, from what I understand, was in a complete mess. In fact, APCO was so disorganized. The leader of APCO himself actually lost his seat. So that's an example how bad the campaign went for Wari Sung and his ally. And I think the third point was that many of the Wari Sung campaigners in the KDM seats were overconfident. They were banging on the fact that the younger KDM voters, when they come back to their kampongs, are very likely to support them, which is true if you look at 2018 figures. But unfortunately, many of these KDM voters did not come back from the urban areas. And many of these who were supposed to fly in from Malaya or even Sarawak did not come back at all. And obviously, the main reason has to be the fear of the COVID-19. Now, if you're a young man, you don't plan to travel because you're afraid of bringing COVID to your kampong where a lot of old people live. So it's fully understandable that you do not want to go back. And secondly, if you were to live in Malaya, it was very difficult to find a flight. Plus, the fares was extremely expensive. So this led to a much lower anticipated turnout. And I think another factor was that many KDM villagers in the TRS have said that they're very angry that Wari Sung did not fulfill the promise. In some of the earlier, before the official campaign start, Wari Sung actually promised a lot of these villagers $300 to help them with the COVID crisis. And they never received the money. On the other hand, they received money from the federal government, the PN government. For the COVID thing. So this makes them compare with the Wari Sung government. And of course, this tie in with the narrative put up by PN that the Sabah economy was mismanaged by Wari Sung and that in the 2 years that Wari Sung was in state government, they did not really do anything for the economy and that the economy was really, really bad. You must understand that if the Sabah's economy is doing very bad, it will have a huge impact especially in DRS because they rely on money coming in from the workers from the villages who are working in the urban areas and in the outside Sabah. And the final point, of course, is that consistent with all the previous elections in Sabah, I think on Friday night, Saturday morning, during the crucial period of voting, I think there was some selective vote buying. For example, I've been told that this made a huge difference in a place called Kuala Penyu. Selective vote buying allows them to get over the line. You have to remember in the Malaysian electoral system, it's not based on how many votes you get. You just have to win more votes than all the other candidates or first past the post. The other interesting statistics I think we need to look at carefully and analyze over the next few months is the fact that despite all the hard work put in by Wari Sung, in terms of the actual vote difference, it's actually very small. It's less than 2,000. So both of them receive almost the same percentage of votes, which means that for whatever reason, the people of Sabah has really turned away from Wari Sung. Although they like Wari Sung's mantra of we are here to build a nation, not for a particular race or religion. But when it comes to voting, somehow they think Wari Sung can't rule Sabah. They may like Shafiq personally. They like his logo. They like the fact that he is a Sabah champion, all that. But somehow when it comes to the ballot box, they're probably thinking that, yes, I like this guy, but obviously he's not going to put food on the table or get me a job or give me more opportunities.
So, James,
so, yes,
who do you think is going to be the chief minister then? That's the money question again.
Sure. So right now, basically, the contest is between Bung, the Sabah UMNO leader, and the leader of PN. Last night, there was a very interesting incident. Apparently, and I have to use the word, allegedly, Bung, during the negotiation, smashed a table. So you can see that the thing is getting to a crisis point. I suspect this morning, everybody will be at the palace, and the governor will ask them one more time, have you guys come to a consensus candidate? My suspicion is that they haven't come to a consensus candidate. I think last night they took some time off to cool down the hot temperature. And maybe this morning, people will have other calculations in mind about who they're going to support. One of the interesting players whose name has not surfaced in terms of negotiations, and I've been told that he was involved in the conversation, is Musa Aman, the former chief minister, who did not stand as a candidate in this election. So obviously, the fact that they've gone back to him to ask his opinion means that it's really a PN and UMNO really can't come together. So either it'll be the captain's pick, the governor's pick, or sometime this morning at the Istana or the palace, they will come to a consensus candidate. I think there's tremendous pressure on them to select a candidate and do it quickly. Because in Sabah, you know, right, every hour you delay the appointment of the chief minister, you give the other side a chance to drag your YBs away for defections. So if they don't get it right this morning or this afternoon, I think they will be in big trouble.
And who do you think it will be?
My guess is that PN will win out.
PN will win. So it'll be...
Yes. It'll be somebody from the PN side. Whether it's Hajiji or somebody else, I suspect it will not be a Sabah UMNO candidate.
And I wanted to ask you, James, what does this mean for federal politics? Because is this a harbinger for snap elections for Malaysia then? Because it seems to be supportive of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's campaign in Sabah.
Not really. But I think there'll be less pressure, in fact, on Muhyiddin. As we all know, the pressure for a snap election or the snap GE actually comes from UMNO and PAS. They are the one clamoring for a snap election because they think they will do very well in the Malay rural system, Peninsula Malaysia, and in the process will wipe Bersatu off the map. Muhyiddin is not willing to take the risk, partly because he's just gone through a big fight in his party where the party was split in half. I'm talking about Bersatu. And he's got problems with bringing in the additional people from Asming Ali, all that sort of thing. So he needs a period to settle the party down, rebuild the missionaries. So I would think that he is not ready to go for general elections yet. Now, the reason why I say that he will have less pressure now, is because one of the really crazy stuff that happened in this state election is that if you are somebody who did not know about elections in Malaysia, if you were to drive around KK, you would think that the candidates for this election is actually Muhyiddin versus Shafiq Abdal because of Muhyiddin's poster, slogans with ABBA were all over Sabah. And the reason is because they couldn't agree on the chief minister candidate, so they had to use Muhyiddin's picture. Now, interestingly enough, even though they use his picture in an emergency situation, I've been told that turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Because many people actually quite like him, and in the interiors, people were grateful to get the money from the federal government, and they associate the money with Muhyiddin. So it turned out to be a plus factor. So Muhyiddin can claim some credit for GRS success in Sabah.
But James, does Anwar's announcement that he has the numbers to form the next government change that conversation though?
Not really. Anwar was not a factor in Sabah at all. I mean, Anwar had a press conference in the middle of the campaign and nothing happened in Sabah. In fact, his name was really not dragged up in any of the charamas. There might be one or two that I've missed, but the one that I've listened to, his name basically did not come up. It was all about local issues. It was all about Sabah state nationalism, keeping Malaya parties out, that sort of stuff.
But does it force Tan Sri Muhyiddin's hand, though, that Anwar says that, you know, now I have the numbers?
No, it doesn't. Because the problem is that Anwar hasn't shown anybody his list. He's sort of keeping close to his chest. He only wants to show it supposedly to the king. But we know that the king is not meeting anybody this week. The problem with the list is, as Mahathir found out, it doesn't matter who signs what statutory declarations, people can still jump even after they sign the list. So this is one of those situations where unless Anwar can lock all those MPs who signed their support to him in a special place where they can't run away, it's very good. It's very difficult to hang on to that support. And as I mentioned, the longer you do not move, the faster the people will run.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. That was Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, a longtime commentator on Malaysia politics, telling us what's happening, why Warisan Plus lost in Sabah, and interestingly, also bringing the conversation back to the federal level as to whether there will be snap elections. It does seem that for the moment, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has a bit of a breathing space. And even though Anwar says that, yes, you know, I have the numbers, that doesn't seem to change anything. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this, what kind of repercussions this has on the federal level. But the fact that Muhyiddin was more popular than expected in Sabah and that his picture turned out to be a blessing in disguise for GRS is also a very interesting interesting sentiment and indicator perhaps of whether or not he has the staying power to continue for the next 2 years or so.
Yeah, but up next, latest developments on the ongoing Apple versus Epic Games saga. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.